What's going on, everyone, and welcome back. Yes, welcome back to the Double M Show Live. We are
yes, sir.
Live. What's going on, Mr. Mike? Nice. I can't say to the left of me, but I don't know if wherever you're looking at, to me, he's to my right. So to the right of me, I got my brother who I always got with me, Mr. Mike Nice. What's happening, Brody?
Yeah, man, we back. Season 3 underway, foot on the gas pedal. We keeping it rolling right now. It's good to be back for another episode of Double M. My brother Mee is in the building. We got a great show coming up, Brev. Ooh. A great show coming up. Oh boy,
it's a good one, man. But how you feeling, man? It's been an interesting weekend in sports. How are you feeling? Everybody in the comments, how y'all feeling? Welcome. Once again, this is Double M Live. You guys know the deal. It's not just a conversation between Mike and I. It's with you guys as well. So make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
That's right. That's right. We need all the love we can get because the conversation is not only with Marvin myself, but it's with y'all too. Y'all tuned in right now. We appreciate it always, week after week. You know, you guys are rolling with us. So let's do it. Double M, we live.
We live, baby. And you know, with Double M, we got an announcement, man. I know we kind of teased this. We teased this last week, but you know, Double M Media is growing. And with growth means, you know, you're gonna need to have some extra people. And someone very special is joining the Double M crew. He goes by the name of Josh, aka Soul Brother. I see him in the comments right now. Soul Brother got something special for y'all coming up this week. We are recording this live on a Tuesday night. By Wednesday, you're going to start seeing some Soul Brother material. You know, he's got his own music, reactions, music reviews, the state of hip-hop, everything you need to know about music. That's the guy to go to. He's going to be adding his talents. He brought his talents to Double M Media, and I can't wait for you guys to all hear it. It's got to be a very dope show to go on and on and on, man.
This guy, Dirk, up in the comments asking questions. Why are we indifferent? Dirk, bro, you know, doing little things a little different for this episode, guy. Just stay tuned. Sit back, relax, be in the comments for sure. But enjoy, man. It's a special episode coming up.
It's a panoramic, Dirk. It's a panoramic, bro.
So it's a Pandera,
Panera bread.
Panera. I was about to say something, but I think it's in Spanish, and I think it's a bad word. So let me not say it.
I know what you was about to say, and no. Do not.
I'm not going to say that word. Okay. But yeah, man, we're looking forward to that show coming up with our brother Josh, man. Stay tuned for that for sure. Also, another show on the way coming real soon. Don't forget about that. Sundays with Sayonara.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can't wait for that as well.
Sayonara's coming soon. Hey, we're going to give you guys more details as the time goes on. But just know that Double M is brewing. Double M is working, dog.
Yeah, we got a lot of good content coming y'all way. But Marv.
Yeah, man. What's up, bro?
You know, let's give a quick rundown of what to expect for tonight.
Yeah, Mike. Why not?
What is going on tonight?
Hit us with the playlist, bro. I feel like we got something going on. Episode 2. Episode 2 of season 3, but episode 71. Shout out to us, man. 71 episodes of Double M.
71 episodes of Double M. But yes, tonight on the playlist for sure, Super Bowl Sunday just passed. What we saw, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Kansas City Chiefs. And by now, you should know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were victorious 31-9, I believe. Blowout. This is a blowout. It was a blowout. And not only did Tampa Bay come out victorious, but Tom Brady walked away with championship ring number 7.
Jeez.
Seven. So we definitely going to dive into some Super Bowl reactions, some Super Bowl conversations. Tom Brady, number 7. So we'll definitely talk about that for sure. And then as we continue to march our way through the show, you've been peeping us all week, the different, you know, IG posts, Twitter posts, Facebook posts. We got a special guest joining us tonight. You know, something we're going to do on Double M a lot in this season. We definitely bringing on different guests because different people got things going on. Different people got things to promote, great things that they're doing in their lives and other people's lives. But tonight, we kicking it off with our brother, our bro, and a man that goes by many names. But tonight, he's going by DJ Irk up in here. Throwback for us.
DJ Irk, that's what? Art of Hip Hop?
Art of Hip Hop, Menace to Midnight. It's a throwback.
I'm excited, man. And obviously, we're going to have, you know, there's a couple of events coming up this week that we got to talk about, we have to address. But stay tuned. You guys already know how this show goes. Get into the comments. But Mr. Mike, nice, man. After this weekend, you just said it. We don't got to go over too much. Tom Brady, he gets number 7. 7 rings.
Yeah. Tom Brady got it done again.
Never, ever. Did we ever think that we'd see a player get 7 Super Bowl rings? A quarterback at that. A quarterback with 7 Super Bowl rings is ridiculous, but Tom Brady did it. So the question is now, this is to everyone in the comments. This is to Mr. Mike Nice. Is Tom Brady the greatest sports, American sports athlete of all time? Not just football, but is he the GOATs of the GOATs?
Listen, 7 rings is a lot. If you're a player in any sport and you can come out saying 7 rings, you got 7 fingers held up and you got a ring on each of them, that's a lot. And not only has Tom Brady won rings, he did it. Obviously, people know his career, his time in New England. But then he leaves the New England Patriots. You know, maybe some people are happy about it. Some people are upset. Whatever the way you might feel, in all honesty, doesn't really matter at this point. But Tom Brady leaves New England, signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And in his first season with a brand new team, he wins a championship. Wins a championship. And I think I tweeted this out the other day. When you're a player and you go somewhere brand new and you're able to accomplish a feat like winning a championship that first season, I hold you to a different level, a different standard. You got Tom Brady, who obviously did it this past Sunday. Kawhi Leonard in the NBA did it when he left San Antonio, went to Toronto Raptors. And I think you brought this up to me too the other day, Mark. Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen spent many years with their organizations, you know, Garnett with the Minnesota Timberwolves and Ray Allen was with the, at the time, Seattle Supersonics, but come over to a new team in 1 year, new culture, new environment, new coaching, new teammates, and you're able to win a championship ring. You got to be held to a different level. You got to be looked at differently because that says that you're capable of going somewhere and having such a major impact. And you're able to bring that team and win. Because, you know, Tom Brady, Kawhi Leonard, these players that I just listed, they're not like some journeyman players who just said, oh, I just need to sign with this other team. We're talking about big-time, all-star, right, Hall of Fame players in their sport that go to a new team, change the culture, change everything around them, and turn them into winners. Like Tampa Bay, they weren't winning much before Brady. At all. They weren't winning much. Toronto Raptors, before Kawhi Leonard, they was flip-flopping a little bit. Flip-flopping. And then the Celtics, before KG and Ray Allen came, they were the worst team in the league. God. You have new players come in and are able to make that happen, it says a lot about who you are.
Yeah, so answer the question, though. Is Tom Brady the greatest sports athlete of all time?
Look, Jordan's my guy. As y'all can see over my shoulder right here, I got a post of this guy. Jordan's my guy. Jordan, basketball is my favorite sport. And Jordan is, you know, my favorite athlete of all time, you know, just because what he's been able to accomplish on the court and then just who he is in, you know, the media. You see Jordan in movies and commercials and whatnot. Jordan's my guy. But Tom Brady is pretty much on the same level as Jordan in terms of how they are in their sport and how they're perceived off the court as well. But now Tom Brady has won more than Jordan. So I got to give it to Tom Brady right now. Tom Brady has surpassed Jordan. And I don't say that with any pain in my chest because they're two of my favorite players. Like I love Brady. I love Jordan. But Tom Brady with this seventh ring has taken that extra step past Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, immediately for me, once I saw Brady get that seven, that's the first thing that came out my mouth. Like, well, he clearly has to be the greatest sports athlete of all time, right? It's just the immediate reaction. You see it. You're happy for Brady. But, you know, as days go by, I started really thinking about it. And it's just so hard to talk about different sports and put one player ahead of another. Yes, Tom Brady has seven, one more over Mike. But at the end of the day, Tom Brady, even though he's playing the most important position as a quarterback, he's not playing defense. He's not playing special teams. And that's two major parts of a football team right there. Someone's got to play the defense. Someone's got to play special teams. Tom Brady's not doing that. In basketball, obviously, you get to play offense and defense, and we already know what Jordan does on both sides of the court. MVP, defensive player of the year. We already know that. Then you got to start thinking about individual sports as well, individual athletes. Where do we rank a Serena Williams? Serena Williams is a GOAT. She has 23 Grand Slams. As Wes said, she has to be in the conversation for gold medals, and she won when she was pregnant. I absolutely agree. Then we have Super Soaker saying McCoy saying Brady is a better athlete than Jordan. This is ludicrous. Let me get to my point before we answer that. I'll let Mike tackle that one. But and then you Tiger Woods, another person you got to put in there. What he's did in his time and even coming back in 2018 and still winning a Grand Slam. He has to be in the conversation. Another person in the conversation, Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps has dominated the whole Olympics, broke all types of records. So when we're talking about greatest sports athletes of all time, it is so hard, especially when you're comparing a team sport with individual sports and accolades. So I just put them all in that bubble. I put Jordan there. I put Brady, Woods, Serena, Phelps. LeBron's knocking on that door. He can get there with his longevity and how he seems like he's not slowing down anytime soon. So I feel like they're all there. It's really hard to place one person over another. Yes, Tom Brady's got seven. But then if we're talking about rings and numbers, where do you place Bill Russell? I mean, that's always a conversation, right, in the basketball realm. Bill Russell has 11. Went to the finals 12 times. You can't knock that. Is he the GOAT? No one ever brings him up.
That Bill Russell conversation. I know there's people out there to be like, you want to bring up Jordan. Jordan's the greatest of all time. And people say, well, Bill Russell, you know, Bill Russell. Here's my personal opinion when you talk about Bill Russell. And not only Bill Russell, but other bigs, like dominant centers, the Kareems, the Bill Russells, the Wilts. I get their dominance. But when I think basketball and what the sport is, Bill Russell and Kareem and Chamberlain, you know, I don't want to say they're one trick ponies. Let me not say that about them. But like in a basketball possession, for the most part, somebody has to get them the ball and for them to do a little post move or whatever and score the basketball, or whatnot. When you talk about Jordan and Kobe and some of these wing players, to back up my argument, watch that final minute of the Chicago Bulls versus the Utah Jazz 1998 NBA Finals. Jordan played amazing defense, stole the ball from Karl Malone, then brought the ball up the court, called an isolation, and scored the game-winning basket. I'm sorry, but Bill Russell's not doing that. Chamberlain's not doing that.
Is the counter-argument. Does it matter when you can just give it to the big man and he just knows how to dominate? You don't need to be put into that situation. I don't think it's fair to penalize big men due to the fact that they can't do what guards can do. And guards can't dominate in the post like big men. Like, everyone deserves their flowers. And I hate the argument that Bill Russell won it against, you know, scrubs, and he won 11 against scrubs. And why didn't anyone else win 11 in a row? You can only play your competition. And he's the one who did it. Why didn't, if it was so easy and he played against scrubs, why didn't anybody else do it? So we got to give the big men their flowers.
Yeah, I'm not taking away from the dominance that Bill Russell and, you know, like the Wilt Chamberlains and, you know, the Kareems. I'm not taking away from the dominance that they brought to the game. I just feel as if the wing players who can, you know, bring the ball up the court, make plays happen, isolation plays, you know, I just view them more in the terms of basketball. Those bigs are dominant when they get the ball in their hand and, you know, play defense and whatnot. But I just hold those guys who can do much more with the basketball to a different level for sure.
All right. So I'm swinging it right back to you, Mike. We got a comment here. Brady is a better athlete than Jordan.
Look, if you really want to dive into athlete and what an athlete looks like and whatnot, yes, the argument there of, well, Brady's not the athlete that Jordan was, I get it. But at the end of the day, football is a sport. Basketball is a sport. And playing these sports are athletes. Whether they, who can jump the highest or run the fastest or throw the farthest or kick the, like, then you, that's a, you're breaking down the debate even more. But when the debate starts, you're calling them athletes first. They're athletes first in their specific sport. So yes, Jordan, while he may not be the physical, while Brady might not be the physical athlete that Jordan is, he's an athlete in his sport, and he's won the championship in that sport as an athlete 7 times while making 10 appearances in those games. That alone, to me, is wild.
Super Soka, I'm a little bit confused because now I feel like you're going against your argument a little bit. he's saying Brady went to a team that only needed a quarterback. That team was talented in every position besides the QB. In 2020, I can think of 10 to 15 quarterbacks who would have the similar amount of success. Now, 10 to 15 might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I feel like you just said Brady is a greater athlete than Jordan, then with this argument, you're kind of going against that.
No, I don't think he said Brady was a greater athlete than Jordan.
He didn't. What did he say?
I think he was laughing at the fact that we're saying Brady is a better athlete than Jordan.
Ah, I read that. I was reading it literally.
Yeah, he's laughing at the fact that, that's why he said that's ludicrous, because he's laughing at the fact that we would consider Brady a better athlete than Jordan.
No, but I think Brady's had a great career. I mean, you could say Brady has greater success than Jordan, going to the Super Bowl 10 times and winning 7 as an athlete. I mean, you got to put Jordan up there. I mean, Brady's still athletic. I mean, he's still getting the ball out there. You're still having 300-pound men rushing after you, and you got to throw that ball as accurate as hell. So, I mean, it's different athletics, obviously, with different sports. But I'm sorry, Super Soaker, I definitely read that wrong.
This guy, Dirk, over here talking about Brady can run faster. I tell you what, Brady not beating me in a foot race.
I'm an average guy, and I'm dusted, Brady.
I'm not. Brady's not beating me in a foot race. No. Brady's not. I understand he plays football.
What's the average guy look like?
Right? I must not be the average guy then. I must be. put some pads on me and tell me to go play wide receiver. So I guess Brady not beating me in a foot race. All right? Not happening. But, yeah, man. It's at the end of the day, it's just an amazing accomplishment for Tom Brady winning 7 rings. You know, the debate, these sports debates can go on and on and on, because there's probably people out there that don't think Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. Still, I bet that's you crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. But I bet you can find somebody who's still ready to be like, well, Rodgers can do more with the football and Mahomes can. People will debate it. And that's the thing with these sports debates. They can go on and on and on. And that's the beauty of it, too. When you can have these debates, healthy conversations, it's great.
Derek's asking, what's our 40? I don't know what my 40 is then. But I could tell you what my 40 was. I don't know what my 40 is now, but I could tell you what my 40 was back then. It was like a 4, 5, 7, I believe.
I don't know what
Brady is. Brady's not no 4.57.
Well, Brady's not beating me in a foot
race. I'm probably no 4.57 now either. we're talking 10 years ago.
But yeah, man, we can have, like I said, we can have these conversations, sports, basketball, football, all the time. The who's the greatest, whenever. And that's the beautiful thing about Double M. We love those conversations and we love having them with you guys in the chat per usual. But Mies.
Yes, sir.
We got a special guest.
Yes, sir.
We got a special guest and we've been hyping it up all week, getting ready for this show right here to have our special guest join us. Give us a quick background thing. Both Marv and I can give a quick background with our special guest. We go way back with this guy.
Way back in time.
Way back.
I mean, Mike already said this guy goes by many aliases. You know, formerly introduced as Jamal Barnett, also known as DJ Irk, Jamerkle, Conflict, one might say.
When the lights get a little low, though.
What they call him?
When the lights start to dip a little bit, he transforms into this other guy.
The other guy.
And that other guy goes by Young Barry.
Young Barry. So for those who don't know, as y'all see here, you know, Mike Nice and I are a duo when it comes to Double M, obviously. But in real life, it's really a trio. You know, Jamal, our brother, he's been with us from day one. And not only has he been with us, but as an individual, he's skyrocketed and taken things to new heights with his words, with his teachings, with his art, with a lot, which you guys are going to see. I mean, there's so much about this guy and there's so much we can go on forever. But, you know, it's an amazing individual, Black man who, you know, kids should look up to.
Yes,
really. And like, it's I'm honored to call him my brother. I'm honored to call him my friend. Honored to have him here on Double M. So, man, I feel like without further ado, unless you got some words as well, Mike.
You said it all. Everything you said, Marv, you know, you see it firsthand. I see it firsthand. And it's great that, you know, we can bring him here on the show to just shine a little bit more light on this Black man right here, our brother. So without further ado, yes, Mr. Sir. Young Barry himself, DJ Irk.
Hey,
more net in the building.
What's going on?
We gotta get that soundboard.
Yeah.
Come on,
I tell you, we don't need a soundboard. You just gotta, when he walks outside, that's all you hear. You just gotta click or record it.
Pretty much.
I appreciate y'all, man. For real. We gotta do a cheers. Appreciate y'all.
Cheers, man.
Shout out to Double M and this new platform is dope. Appreciate y'all. Y'all are great.
Yeah, man. It's good to have you on the show, season 3 here. We got people in the comments calling this man a legend. Our man Josh knows the deal. Soul Brother knows the deal.
Yo, Soul Brother actually hooked me up with a nice little R&B playlist. I think it's called Sorry Not Sorry. He hooked me up with a dope little Apple Music R&B playlist. Hey, thanks, guy.
It's great to have you, man, here, man. So, you know, you all over the place already, DJ Irk, Young Barry. I'm going to call you a bunch of different names. You are already all over the place, man, and you doing a lot of great things individually for the community, different communities at that, and it's great to see. You know, as your brother, we sit back and we watch and we just applaud you. You know, we commend you. We shout you out. We promote you. We lift you up. You know, that's what a brotherhood is all about, but it's good to see everything you're doing. You know, a key thing for you is how you dibble and dabble in the art world. My man is top-notch artiste. And, you know, I don't think that passion from you, even though it's been out there broadcast and highlighted over the last couple of years, I don't think that passion for you started just over the last couple of years. That's something that's went back years and years and years. So speak on that. Where did your passion for all of that come from and how it really started to blossom and develop and grow for you?
That's a great question, bro. I would have to say, no bull. I've been doing art for a while. Like I've been drawing for a little bit. I still have like I still got a folder with like my art from fourth and fifth grade. I was drawing like Charlie Brown and Snoopy. You know, everybody was drawing Goku and all the Dragon Ball Z characters. So I still got pictures from then. But I'll say like maybe really loving art probably in high school. I knew I was kind of good at drawing in high school. I'm not going to lie. So that was kind of cool doing some of the projects there and then doing graphic design. And then both of y'all know I came into Bridgewater as an art major. And y'all know how that went. But at the beginning, this dude Marv used to see me in class till 8 o'clock at night, 9 p.m. I used to be in art classes like 5 to 9, like a job. Doing and drawing and whatnot in the art building at Bridgewater. But then I think I kind of took a step back sophomore year. I don't know if you remember, Mike, but I got in trouble with the RD or whatever and Pope when I ripped up my whole art project and I just left it in like the lounge or whatever. That's when I had it with art. That's when I was done, bro.
I do remember.
I was done. I did like that was my final project. You had to make something out of cardboard. I made a half pipe and a skateboard out of cardboard, like a movable, and you could actually stand on it type of a skateboard out of cardboard. Dude gave me a D+ on it. I was livid, bro. I was livid.
I remember you destroying that.
I couldn't believe it. So I was like, that's it, man. I'm not gonna do all this work to get a D+. And fail art. Like I wasn't doing this shit to get graded for it. So that kind of hit different. And then I stopped for a little bit, but I was still drawing low key. And I think it was an open mic. And I just put one of my paintings out for like one of the Caesar Poetry Johns. It was like that supernatural entities. I remember it all. It was the supernatural entities painting. It was like this blue man and the woman was purple and they were like cuddling on top of like the earth. And Matt people was like, yo, that looks good, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, maybe I should just show them what I've been doing, even though I'm not in my art classes no more. So I guess that's just how it kind of started catching on. And I don't know. I was going to museums and it was like, all these paintings are big. So you got to just get bigger, go bigger, go bigger. So I just kept trying to just draw like just hands and features a little bit better. So then I could make them larger and it looked proportionate, things like that. And from there, it's just been catching on. People been loving what I've been doing. And I just been mixing my art with my poetry. And I think that's kind of what's been keeping it like relevant. Cause along with like each piece, I kind of write a poem with it just to like just to get that emotion out the way. Once I finish something. So I think that's really why it's been catching on, just, you know, having meaning behind each piece and really just trying to stay consistent with my message and what, like my theme, trying to keep my theme like consistent. Cause I got to have like a little artist theme. And by now everybody knows if it's brown skin and if it's just a hand or arm or a foot or an eye, it's me. It's me.
So I want to take it back a little bit. You mentioned how, you know, I remember you coming in, you was like a comm major and then you had like graphic design you was taking, you was coming back pissed, late, having like four hour classes. And then I think around our senior year, around super senior year, that's when your art, you was really painting. You was really starting to flourish your art. And I remember seeing the feedback getting onto it, but I feel like in the beginning when you were starting, right, you were drawing a lot of like naked women, drawing a lot of females and things like that. And people wanted to fit you into that box. Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember even me making fun of you on Snapchat, trying to draw, you know what I'm saying? Like you was drawing a lot of women. That's what people were knowing Jamal as. Can you speak on how that started and how you got yourself out of that box and transformed to an artist where you can do multiple things and you're not just known as this one entity?
I think, geez, the main reason I was drawing like provocative stuff was just to pretty much catch attention. Like I knew I could paint and draw, but like it wasn't really catching nobody's attention. So it was like, let me just paint something nasty. You know, somebody's gonna be like, what the, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was like, let me just paint something nasty. And it got attention that way. And you know, I was still back then mixing like the paint and the color pencils and the Sharpie. I was still doing the same thing, but I was making it nasty to draw people's attention. It'll force them to take a double take, to look at what it is. And the transition, though, I don't even know how that happened, to be honest with you. I think it may have started with, like, maybe the thought of trying to do a gallery. I think that's what probably transitioned, because my definitely super senior year, like that last poetry show, I had all my art up in the back. Right. That was real dope for me. And then doing that, what's that? That raw art
in Medford or whatever.
Is it Medford somewhere over there?
Yeah.
So that made me feel good. And then I was like, all right, like, these shows are cool, but like, I want to do like some gallery type. Like, I want to see if like I could do that. But galleries weren't really doing like provocative, like, they weren't really accepting those into their artwork, mm-hmm. into their music, the museums and all the galleries or whatever. So I kind of low-key had to take a step back for a little bit. And I think it kind of just, it flowed with like Black History Love, in a sense. Cause that first Black History Love, I did that painting of like the black and white with the dude holding the girl. It wasn't that provocative, but it was real simple. And that's what, that one caught a lot of attention. Like, I'm still selling prints of that to this day. So that one caught mad attention. So after that, it was just like, I fed into trying to make a story with my art, because all the nasty art was just, all right, cool, I'm just gonna draw a vagina, some titties, cool. But I think after I did that piece for Black History Love, it kind of made me be like, all right, maybe I should make a story. Maybe I should try and make a story with my art. And it started with the creation of man, with the dude in the woman's stomach. That was the first piece, and I posted that on the gram. And back then, I got like 150 likes. That was the most likes I've ever seen in my life. I was getting like 60, regularly, 70.
And you blew past that these days now, huh?
Right. Well, I'm still excited for 150.
my graduation photo and the picture of Creation of Man were like my two top like photos like for a while. And galleries just started low-key reaching out off of people reposting that the Creation of Man picture on the gram. Shout out to social media. So fucking everybody just started reposting that. Galleries started reaching out, and I was like, all right, now I definitely got to make a story with this, because they want 30 pieces. I have one painting. So that was what, 2016, and then Creation of Man wasn't until 2018. So those whole 2 years was me really just painting for trying to make a real story. And I think that's kind of how I transitioned out. Because the Creation of Man, it was a man, but he was still naked pretty much. And every single one of the pieces, he was naked in the stomach. He was naked falling down, a couple of them. Even all the pieces, they were naked. But in a sense, it was a different story behind it. So that's how I kind of transitioned out, I would say.
So
that's dope.
Before we keep going with the questions, I definitely got another question. Everybody who's tuned in right now, again, this is Double M Live with our special guest, DJ Irk. If you got comments, if you got questions, please feel free to drop them. I know people probably watch right now. You know Irk. If this is your first time meeting our guy, DJ Irk, please don't hesitate to drop some comments, some questions that, you know, we can throw his way for sure, because this is truly, truly, truly a great guy.
And like, we know Irk, and these are questions we haven't even ever asked him. You know what I'm saying?
True. So I got a question for sure, because, you know, through the years of knowing Irk for sure, you know, him and I, you know, him a little bit before me, but me following him a little bit, we reached the role of becoming educators. And now everything that you're doing in terms of your artwork and your poetry. You know, now you have this role of an educator where you can kind of showcase what you're doing and who you are to the youth, to the young ones. And I mean, I see it firsthand all the time. But I want you to speak on that in terms of how you get, you know, your personal passions or whatnot, how you present it to the youth and how you want their outlook to be with how you present it to them.
Jeez, bro, y'all are asking some wild questions today.
Hey, man, we in the media, now. Bro. We in the
Come
media
on now.
Today.
Come on, fam.
I would say, man, no bullet. Wasn't probably until even like last year where I really started doing art with the kids, to be honest. So I would say, I think it was a matter of time for my art to connect with kids or with the school that we work at. So it was ultimately like really just trying to, you know, give another kid that outlet. Cause I was sitting in my class drawing all the time. Why are we supposed to be writing notes? I'm drawing around the border. So I was just, you know, really trying to give the kids another, a different outlet, even if it wasn't like doing art. Like, I would still even do, like, some spoken word activities in the class, like, some acting activities in the class. Just try and have the kids play out, you know, different types of roles and see what they like, see what they don't like. And just try and – I just try and make the environment in my classroom real fun. Like, the kids know, like, rules are the rules, and I'm going to set that standard of respect and honesty and being able to, like, collab and critique. But it's always fun. And I think that that's really what's been working really good for me is just, you know, just keeping that same regimen, to be honest.
So we got some questions coming in right here from our bro Soul Brother. You know, what do you want your viewers to feel or think when they look at one of your pieces of work?
That depends, Soul Brother. It would ultimately depend on which piece. Now, if we're talking about the new series, low key, I'm doing like a new series, but y'all already seen some of those with like the new hands like this, and then I got one holding.
Hey, Irk, we global, baby. Not everybody's seen it. Now you got to explain it to the masses.
Some people are new here, hearing about you for the first time.
All right. Well, I guess if based on the new series, the way I would want somebody to feel if they were looking at my work right now would probably be a sense of hope, in a sense, or maybe a sense of relaxation, like just being relaxed or being at peace. I'm using a lot of like empty space now for like my new pieces, and so I'm just working with, you know, just using less amount of space on the canvas, but still giving like a certain emotion. So maybe like hope and relaxation will probably be the emotions right now.
Okay. That's dope. This is a great segue right
here. Yes, perfect. Shout out to Super Soaker Sane.
Where can one view your work, brother?
Well, on my site, my guy. You already know how that works. On my site, brother.
So we here at Double M, you know, we're going to give you a little view of DJ Irk's site. You know, he's put in a lot of work creating his website. You know, a place where you can view his artwork, a place where you can view his, you have your poetry up there as well.
That's, you know, up there.
Take a look at this site right here. If you
that's my site. Fun fact that the background of my site, that's my guy Stizzy. If y'all don't know the whole background, that's
gonna drop the link to as well in the chat.
That's definitely Stizzy.
The link is definitely in the chat for you guys, and go check out. This is a talented bro. Hey.
That's me. Hey.
Oh, see me over there.
The layout crazy. I don't know. Oh, y'all have
this man. Check out
our guy.
Click on Black History Love, bro. Go back.
Oh, sorry. We gotta show off your art, bro. Yeah, talk bro, to us about to absence.
Work.
Okay, bet. So the first top two pieces are the new pieces and like the series I'm working on now. Last year I was planning on doing it in the gallery. This year, definitely not gonna happen this year. So probably 2022. And yeah, it's just all about empty space. As you can see, there's a whole bunch of empty space, and I'm just utilizing like the hands and the arms to kind of give off a certain emotion. And like I said, it's like it's part of me is giving off hope and part of me is giving off relaxation. But that's not just going to be the only mood that's going to be showed in these pieces. There's going to be like 15 more like wow. This like, that's going to be coming
more
down.
More to come.
Yeah. Even that one with the eye right there, that's a part of the new series as well. I have a couple of those. Those like a Rorschach ink block type things, you know, when you go to like a therapist or something, they'd be like, all right, what do you see? Yeah, so it's kind of like that. And I did one, there's an eye, there's a nose, a mouth, an ear, but I haven't been posting none of them in a while. I haven't posted none.
I swear you did one of me.
Yeah, I did. I'll wait.
we got a question here. Let's see if I could drop this here at the bottom. Are you planning on releasing another poetry book like Shadows in Alleyways?
That's a great question.
Good question.
The answer to that is yes. And the even better response to that is soon. Hello. Hey. Yeah, Shadows in Alleyways was what? I think that was 2016 too. 2016 was a nice year. So I got like 50 some pages right now of some new work. So that's what I'm working on. And Marv, that heart right there, Marv, I'm making that. That's my logo. I decided that's gonna be my logo.
Isn't that the your card?
That's my card. Yeah.
Eric, the streets are waiting for the next one.
Soon.
Yeah. What they want.
So Eric, you know, something that's been brought up here, you know, with your art is poetry. You know, I got to witness it firsthand my freshman year. I tell everybody the reason I started getting into spoken word, right? We went to an open mic. I never been to no open mic before. It's my freshman year. And then, you know, I'm going with Jamal. I don't even know Jamal's about to perform. I had no idea Jamal's about to perform. He puts his name down, he goes perform. Yeah, that's the
been to a lot of events where I hear that for this.
I want that. Whatever that is, I want it. I want that. That was the most dopest thing I've ever seen in my life. The way this dude could just speak and people could, yeah. I like that. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm going in my room and I'm I'm gonna start writing some shit. They ain't gonna see me coming. And then like the next open mic, I wrote my name right after. I was like, yeah, I'm about to show some. But yo, Eric is the reason why I started doing spoken word, because this dude is just that dope. Like, I don't go on YouTube, I don't watch poetry or nothing like that, because my friend is dope already. I don't need to go see anybody else. So I want to just ask you about, you know, your love for poetry and how that came about.
My love for poetry probably started with my love for rap, I would say. Before it was a rap before poetry, definitely. My rap name back in middle school is my IG name right now. I've been Conflict for a while. I've been Conflict for a while, fam. So I was just like drawing. I was writing rhymes and stuff in middle school and whatnot. But I guess poetry maybe came along. Poetry came along in high school, because my rap career wasn't really going anywhere in high school. I was decent. I was good, but like I just wasn't rapping about everything that everybody else was rapping about. So I think I forget who I saw, But it had to be along the lines of like Rudy Francisco was probably the first YouTube thing I've seen. That's when YouTube was like started to pop, was high school, low key. So that was like my first experience seeing like somebody just talk on stage instead of trying. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm about to just slow it down a little bit. Cause we was all writing poetry in English class, but we wasn't doing nothing with it. So I was like, all right, let me see if I could write something with it. And I used to perform perform some of my poetry in the study hall at Brockton High. We'd have like a study, and it'd be like, it was kind of like one of those science room settings, like low key, where you have like all the seats and then the professors in the front. So I used to perform some of my stuff like in the study halls to some people, and they'll fuck with it. And then I just started writing love poems or whatever. And then, you know,
your specialty. Now we get into the nitty gritty.
Oh man, it's another good question popped up here from my guy Soul Brother. Where do you hope to be as an artist in the next 5 years?
5 years? What am I? What am I? 27? 5 years? What's that? 32? I'll be 32, going on 33. That's crazy. I would say, man, probably just like curating mad shows, like. Hopefully have like a building, like a gallery building, and just host and curate mad shows out of there. I don't know where. I don't know if I'm going to still be in Mass in 5 years. We'll see how that works. But definitely curating shows. Still doing my art, but I want to be like host events, hold events. I feel like myself and DJ Mees and Mr. Mike Nice, we host some very great events.
We do all right.
I've like seen some nice events hosted by us over the years.
I feel like being a curator will be great.
Hey, I'm all for it, man. You know, we've been in this game in a sense for a long time.
Years, bro.
We've been rocking with it with each other for a long time. Like we talked about earlier, started off in what, 2012, 2013, when we was together on some radio shows at Bridgewater State University, and you know, we still in a sense grinding hard, you know, making things happen. And it's great if you see us three right here on the screen, you know, we push and motivate each other a lot.
You know, man.
We push and motivate each other a lot, and we all want to see each other succeed and whatever we're trying to reach out, whatever goals we have, you know, we continue to push each other. And you know, everything you doing, Irk, has been great to watch and see. I know I can say that I can speak on behalf of Marv. I can speak on behalf of the rest of our bros. You know, it's always great to see you moving forward and making things happen for sure, man. For sure.
Thanks, guy. We've definitely been in this game for years.
We've been in this game on the annual.
Ah, man.
We used to walk I'm starting to lose names of these buildings. What was that building we used to walk to? What was the radio station in? What building was that?
RCC, bro.
RCC? We used to walk over to RCC. Hung over, bro. Hung over for Double M. Double M used to be at 1 p.m., you guys. It wasn't at 8 p.m. It used to be at 1 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon/morning. We would wake up done, but me, I would say I was a bad friend sleeping behind a lot of the Double M sets when they were on the radio. My hangovers were a lot different than these fellas' hangovers.
Oh man!
Every Sunday, because Sundays we had two shows. We had Double M, and then we had Minutes to Midnight at night, late night. And I'm gonna have you talk about that in a minute, Irk. So I'm glad you segued that. But for Double M, it was at 1 p.m. So you know, we waking up at around 11, 12. You go get your breakfast at the dining hall area where we went to at Bridgewater State, and then we just troop it to the radio station. Mike and I would do our show. Irk would be in the back Sleep. Not every time. You know, and it was funny. I don't even know if he remembers this. Our first thought with Double M was Irk was going to be a big part of it. Like he was going to be playing, like,
control the music in the background.
He was going to be controlling the music. You know, we're going to have him in some segments. That shit didn't last 2 weeks, bro. Irk would just be in the back.
It was Irk in the studio sleeping, and then it transitioned to Irk just not coming. Irk just not coming no more to the studio.
I used to come after Double M with a whole bunch of food.
Yes, yeah, you did. That yes, food was a
did.
Blessing.
Yes, you did. That's facts. That's fact. So moving on, like, we keep talking about all these different, you know, traits and trades that you have in your caliber, in your arsenal. Another one of them is hosting radio shows. Minutes to Midnight came alive. I want you to just talk about, you know, your experience with Minutes to Midnight and how's that helped you?
Who remembers Minutes to Midnight in the chat?
And just your thoughts on it in general.
Minutes to Midnight was great.
Oh, man.
Minutes to Midnight was only possible because y'all fellas loved R&B just as much. I think
that's... And let people know what Minutes to Midnight is as well for our new listeners.
Minutes to Midnight was an R&B show that I hosted, and Mike Nice and DJ Meez both had a segment on. And we both did like our own kind of segments, just playing R&B only. You know, Minutes to Midnight, 11 p.m. Was it 11 p.m.?
It started nine to 11.
So it was, you know, late night, Sunday. You know, everybody will be winding down, doing homework, whatever the case may be. You know, holidays coming on Monday. So, you know, some people would enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And the show was just strictly R&B. And I think, like I said, that only would be possible. I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if I would have wanted to do that by myself. But I think definitely Bump and Take Care with you, Marv. I knew you liked R&B. And then I've been new Mike like R&B. Half of the time before I knew Mike, he was always singing for the most part. So I knew Mike like R&B, and then I found out Mike like Lloyd, and I was like, I bet this guy, he likes some R&B.
Yeah, so, man.
And then we just came up with Minutes to Midnight, and it just translated into making mixes now, and this dude Meez got his mix going crazy. This dude, Mike Nice, he's transitional. He got the shirt on to show it. You see what type of mixes he be making.
I'm retired.
He's saying he's retired.
Yeah, no. Minutes to Midnight was a movement, bro.
It was a vibe.
Yo, do you guys remember we used to hand out flyers to people in cafeterias?
I don't know how we got into the art building, but Irk must have had a secret key or something. He said, yo, let's get into the art building. And we was in there typing and printing out flyers, cutting them up. We thought
we were the guys.
We would go around sit down,
sitting at the table. Hey, yeah, we host a Minutes to Midnight radio show. You want to go check it out?
Oh, man, yeah.
We were the guys.
Being in dining halls, handing people flyers, like, yeah, check out our show. You got to put on the Minutes to Midnight.
The voice. You have to put on the voice. I remember one time they played our the show in, like, Crimson or something, and we were so gassed.
Listening to your own voice over the radio, over the speakers in a dining hall, you was like, yo.
But even speaking of that, you should tell your listeners or the new listeners here what did Double M do for us at Bridgewater State? What door did that open for us?
That first day. So mind you, this, and Mike, please jump in whenever.
Gotcha.
And Irk as well. we already had a show back in 2011, 2012. I was interning for another show called Art of Hip Hop. And then Irk came along once he stopped commuting. And then obviously we brought Mike along once we grew that friendship. And so we already knew hip hop radio, that was going to be our thing. We linked up and we said, all right, we're going to create Double M, which is what we're here now. And we're going to create Minutes to Midnight. That was cool. So the very first Sunday, we did Double M. And I think when we created it, it was right after the Super Bowl or something like that. So we knew our first show was about to be crazy, talking, you know, Patriots always in the Super Bowl around then. So we're doing the show. No, that wasn't during Double M, Irk. I think that was during Minutes to Midnight.
When we got that phone call? That was Double M, bro.
That was Double M.
That was Double M when the phone rang.
To talk real quick, and I feel like you called again.
Yeah, okay, so I'm getting old. Sorry. So yeah, so some dude started talking to us. It was like our first caller. Yeah, and we didn't even know how to work like the phone system on radio and anything. Our first caller, he's talking Patriots and whatever. We're like, yeah, cool. All right, thanks, man. Boom. Then it's like commercial or something, and this dude's calling again. Well, yo, what's good, guys? Like, hey, man, I really rock with you guys. This is cool, boom, boom, boom. And I think at Double M that night, that's when he called and was like, yo, I really like you guys' vibe, and I want you to come over. And it was the owner of Bogart's. Owner of Bogart's who kept going. The local pub in Bridgewater. Is like, yo, I want you guys to come through and, you know, just see if you guys can do something here with us. And at the time, me and Irk are 19 years old.
We were running down the hall.
We took off down the hall.
Yo, we started celebrating. You know, 19 years old, you always hear about this pub that you can't get into.
Yeah,
that's always popping. So you're like, oh, man, you guys want us to be at this pub? Me and Irk said, whatever we do, we're going to act like we're 21. And yeah, cool.
Yeah, I remember we got that phone call, and we definitely went wild in that studio. Like, yo, these people want to hire us. Our show's crazy. Like,
yeah,
it was first
night of our show. People calling us trying to hire us. We was like, yo, we getting phone calls like this. We made it. We got it. We got it.
How much were we getting paid for DJing, bro?
They was trying to make us. They was trying to make us
25 each.
Yeah, exactly. I remember I was paying for my haircut.
Oh yeah, 25 each.
I was paying for my haircut in a bottle.
DJ
haircut, maybe some gas in my car.
They finessed us crazy,
bro. we was getting paid 25 that first year. So like, yeah, that's cool. You know, 25. You know, as a college kid, that's a little change money to get whatever you need. The next year, we thought we was hot shit.
I was like, yeah, y'all need to bump us up.
I think they did bump us up for a couple weeks. They said, we'll give you like extra $5, $10.
Yeah.
After a while, we stopped hair.
They chucked us the deuce sign real quick. They're
like, who the hell do these kids think they are asking for?
You wanted 100 apiece.
To be fair, when we started working there and DJing, we brought out a wild crowd from that early part of the night.
We did.
Shout out to our people that came out and supported us when we was DJing at that place, because we brought out a solid crowd. I think it was a little more than Bogart's anticipated, which is why they probably wanted to go in another direction.
Yeah, and the music we were playing wasn't, you know,
in the new Bugatti.
It wasn't the music that
song. Didn't they ban like Bugatti or something?
I don't know. They just wasn't feeling our music. They wanted to know techno strobe light type stuff. I mean, we wasn't bringing that energy to them.
But I tell you, that first year, man. Yeah, that Wednesday
was OD.
I wasn't supposed to be going to classes on a Thursday feeling funny, but I was.
Yeah, at 19 years old, I was pretty much staying at a 21 plus club.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. It was great. Oh, man. The memories that the three of us have, man.
Crazy.
Over the years, so many. We could be on here talking about so many stories. Well, we got to transition to something. I'm seeing how the time's rolling. We got to transition to something. Something else was on the agenda. And, you know, Marv brought it up. And it's right around the corner. And who better to have these conversations with than our brother Irk, who's on the show?
Yes, sir. So you know.
Go ahead.
No. I think you're doing a great job.
You was good.
You're doing a good job. You're doing.
You was good, bro. So me, hey. I think there's some kind of American holiday coming up. I think there's some kind of American holiday coming up. Shout out to Eric, bro. He got me. I think there's some American holiday coming up that goes by the name Valentine's Day or something like that. Valentine's Day? Valentine's.
You're about to get just don't do it, Mike.
I'm just trying to get the right wording.
Valentine's Day, brother. Valentine's Day.
Ah, okay. Valentine's. Oh, snap. Valentine's Day is quickly approaching.
Yes, it is.
And you see the question there.
The importance of Valentine's Day. There is none.
Go ahead, speak on it.
You got to elaborate on that. You can't just say that. You got to elaborate.
Valentine's Day has no importance to me yet. So I guess maybe I give my mom some flowers, tell her I love her. I tell her I love her every day, so I guess I tell her I love her twice on Valentine's Day, maybe three times, maybe
once.
Twice. So Valentine's Day has never had an importance for you ever?
I've celebrated Valentine's Day. Yes, I have.
So it just depends on the year.
Yeah.
So there is an importance of Valentine's Day then.
If you have a significant other, there's definitely an importance of Valentine's Day.
Smooth. So here's a question for the chat, for everyone in the comments right now as we are speaking. One, obviously, what is the importance of Valentine's Day? Is there an importance of Valentine's Day? And two, must you only celebrate Valentine's Day with a significant other? Could it be someone you're talking to? How far must you go for Valentine's Day? I think these are the questions that
that's a big question.
Which one's a big question?
How far should you go for Valentine's Day?
So
driving wise,
come on, young Barry. You the guest star. We talking to you right now.
The people want to hear from you.
Dude, Mike is eating popcorn. I am all with showering the woman I like with love and praise and attention. I feel like Valentine's Day is a great day to showcase that. I mean, that's what it's for, pretty much. They've programmed that into our brains that Valentine's Day is the day to show love and affection, which is great. You know, there's always a day to make sure whoever you like or is feeling feels important, you know? Now, how far do you go? I mean, it really depends on how much you like that person, to be completely honest. Because you don't want to do too much for somebody who you really don't think you may see something going with, nor should you be going or doing anything on Valentine's Day with somebody you don't see anything going far with. So how do y'all feel about that? What do y'all do for Valentine's Day?
I like this comment right here a lot. Shout out to Wes.
The master. Mike is the master at this.
Has to be a significant other. What do you say? Not someone you're talking to unless you're serious. Yeah, unless you're serious. Unless you're serious, I think Valentine's Day is also another day for a guy. If you aren't really seeing a future with this girl you're talking to, don't confuse her head on Valentine's Day. Also, don't be that guy on Valentine's Day to really go all out and then confuse this young lady's head who may really like you, and you're just trying to do a nice gesture on Valentine's Day. You don't want to do that either.
Look, I think everyone is calling me I'm a slick bastard. I don't know what I did. I think, you know, Valentine's Day, that what people expect to be done on Valentine's Day, what the world presents Valentine's Day to look like, I don't think it needs to necessarily be just for Valentine's Day. you know, the world, society says, oh, get somebody flowers because of Valentine's Day. Get them chocolate because of Valentine's Day. Why can't I do that on a random Tuesday night?
If then I'm feeling good.
That'll why have a better response.
Yeah, why can't I do it on a random, like, it's Valentine's Day, sure, cool. But if you want to do something nice, if you want to cook for somebody, if you want to take them out to eat, you want to, you know, pamper them a certain type of way, it shouldn't be relegated to the 14th of February. You know, the world and society blast that day off as what it is. But, like, if you feeling some type of way for somebody, any day of the week, month can be Valentine's Day, in all honesty. The 14th of February is just a, yeah, cool, it's highlighted. But, like, if you with somebody or you in a significant other talking to somebody, if you don't show somebody love on that 14th of February, does that mean it's over? It's end all be all? Like,
that's a great question too. Is it the end all be all?
If you don't get shown love on Valentine's Day, like, is it all? Does that mean it's over? Nothing's gonna work out. The potential relationship or something can't work. I don't think so, because you don't Valentine's, like, it's a day. It's a day.
Facts. I'm gonna celebrate.
Good job. Good job. Let's see what the comments are saying. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day should be about expressing love in general, not just only with your significant other.
I like it.
I think Valentine's Day looks different for others all across the board, and that needs to be normalized. I see no harm in making something out of Valentine's Day with friends, a crush, or a significant other, as long as things are clear-cut and not being used for emotional exploitation. It's a lovely day. Show love to some of your friends, family, or yourself.
I like it.
Still one more here. You realize guys don't give a damn. I don't need nothing on Valentine's Day.
Nothing.
But then a rebuttal. Actually, Jay, I'm going to need a little something.
Oh.
Respectfully. Respectfully, of course. Of course.
You know, I like Valentine's Day. I'm not even going to cut.
I mean... Listen, I can't answer this question, but I know someone who can. He hasn't shown up this season. He's been gone for a while. But Dr. Mies is here to talk a little bit about Valentine's Day.
Ah, this guy, he gonna have some great insight. Let's hear what he got to say.
Oh, Mike, it's been a while. Nice to see you again.
It was busy.
Mr. DJ Irk, Young Barry.
Saw this dude in New York.
Listen, brother. Listen, brother, we don't talk about New York right now, okay? This is right now we're talking about this day called Valentine's Day. And you know, it comes with communication. I think you must understand your partner or your person's feel for Valentine's Day. If you know that so and such enjoys love or enjoys presents or Valentine's Day and likes that, even though that's not your thing, I don't think it's any harm to go a little extra and get them a little something that you showing that, hey, I recognize that this is something that you enjoy. And just to show you that I care about you, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't have to be extravaganza. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be many, many times in your life where you can do that. Many other Valentines that you can do that as well. But, you know, as long as you showing your partner that you respect them and you understand their feelings, I think that as a man, you could go that route. And fellas, I understand you all as well. Respectfully, it's a two-way street. I personally don't need anything of materialistic things at all. But if one were to try to show some love as well, why can't us men deserve a little something as well? Mm. Now, personally for me, I don't really care. But if I'm talking to someone and I understand that this is what they like, you know, you go the little extra miles. It's just communication is key. You know, what do the kids say these days? The love language. Learn your partner's love language.
Jesus.
So I think all of these things, you know, I'm not going to hear babbles. This ain't about me right now. We got DJ Irk. But I just wanted to say hi to the fellas. It's been a while I've been on this show. So, you know, good to see you guys. Yes, please.
Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet, guy.
What is your synopsis on post-Valentine's Day, Valentine's dates?
Now, listen, if you're talking about me, Dr. Me is a very busy guy. You know, sometimes sometimes I'm occupied. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to go see family or something. Sometimes might happen. Now, post-Valentine's, if I got to do it on the 15th or the 16th, I'll make sure respectfully to let you know that ahead of time, not like the day before, not on the 13th or the 12th. Like, hey, I can't, because that's kind of funny money. We don't do funny money over here. But if I told you in a week or 2 weeks in advance, like, hey, I really want to do something for you, a week, hey, you gotta let them know, you gotta put in the extra effort. Sometimes you gotta put in the extra effort. Let them know, hey, something came up, but I would love to next weekend or the next day or whatnot, take you out to make up for it. I don't see a harm in that. I mean, some people may take it the wrong way, but life happens.
Life happens.
Life.
With that being said, fellas, you know, Irk, we're glad to see you here. Gotta go, but I hopefully you guys allow me back one day again.
Dude is busy.
Oh man.
What's up, guys? Hey.
This dude
is busy.
So wait.
And you know that, and you, what do you say? What doesn't count as a gift? I know exactly what doesn't count as a gift.
What doesn't count as a gift?
What doesn't count as a gift?
What doesn't count as a gift?
Huh?
What doesn't count as a gift?
My mic must have stopped working. I
don't
know.
Something that has already been acquired is not a gift.
What? Not everybody can be you and have
if someone gives Mike, me food before Mike, and wants to give me food for Valentine's Day and I've already acquired it, I'm still gonna accept that Mike, as a gift.
If you have 2K and somebody buys you another 2K as a gift, do you want it?
Hold on.
If Mike has 2K20 and someone gets him 2K21,
yeah, give me that.
Oh, my God, bro.
Yeah.
It just has a little upgrade. Sometimes it add a little extra spiciness on the date. That's all. Listen, I don't ask for much.
I tell you, I don't ask for much at all.
I don't ask for much, brother.
I'm a simple man. So, like, you know.
All right, let's just say it. Does sex count as a Valentine's Day gift?
No. It doesn't count as a gift, period, for anything.
Mike, nice.
You know, I agree with this comment right here. This is the comment I agree. Where is it at? Let me pull it up. Bam, this one right here.
That's a regular Tuesday.
and then follow up. You know, the word is taken away, right? I mean, I agree with those comments. You know, that's.
I don't think it counts. I don't think it counts. And as a man, I can say that. And I think. Maybe quiet.
Nah, bro. This is an interview.
Continue now. You can't cut off mid sentence. We are live.
Oh man, hey, I tell you, if for a gift for me, it's not. But if it's a gift for you, that's a gift.
What does that mean? Sam, chill out.
First time you get it, yes, it's a gift.
Sam says the first time you get it, yes, it's a gift. After that, cardio,
good, great workout, a lot of sweat.
You know, that's a nice date, working out with whoever you want. Like, you can make that fun. You can make that a day.
You can make it very
Valentine's fun. Doesn't have to always be gift giving. It's what you do with each other.
It's about the time spent.
That's it, brother. Come on now.
And again, say something's going on where you can't spend time on that specific day. Like this year, 2021, I believe, you know, Valentine's Day is on a Sunday. You know, people might have to go to church, or maybe people make groceries. People got stuff to do.
And the weatherman saying it's going to snow like it snowed today on Sunday.
So you're telling me if you can't make something happen on that specific day, whenever Valentine's Day falls in that specific year, it's over? Like, it's bad? If we hang out another day that's not the 14th?
Kayla says, what if 2K21 has new levels you haven't seen or tried before? Oh. I say this. I would like to see it.
Oh.
I would like to see it.
I don't play video games.
Same girl, then it's 2K20 again. So
Who's on cover 2K20? Is that AD?
Sure is.
Yes, it is.
Who's on the cover of 2K21? Is that Zion?
Yeah, sure, it's Zion.
What the hell is Zion on?
Rookie of the year, bro.
So this seems to be, you know, a little split of the question at hand right now. Once again, we are on Double M. If you guys are watching this live right now, we got DJ Irk, aka Young Barry, with us. Please give us a like and a subscribe. This helps our channel out so, so much. We're talking about Valentine's Day, and you know, sometimes as men, the only gift some men get is sex. So the question at hand is, does sex count as a Valentine's Day gift? And, you know, Jamal right now saying no, not at all.
Oh, my gosh.
Not a Valentine's Day gift, not a birthday gift, not a Christmas gift, not a graduation gift, not a congratulation gift, not a promotion gift. It's not a gift.
It's just cardio.
It's not cardio either. Sex is not cardio. Sex is an experience.
An experience can't be a gift.
It can be cardio too.
It's definitely cardio.
It's definitely cardio.
It's cardio. It's cardio.
It's definitely cardio.
Oh man. Okay. All right.
So fellas,
we got a comment here from the shout out to the Girlfriend's Guide podcast.
Hey.
Make sure you guys go subscribe to their YouTube as well. They just got their new YouTube up, but they say sex should be the cherry on top, never the whole sundae.
Why can't it be the whole enchilada? It can't be the whole enchilada.
That gotta be a crazy enchilada. That enchilada gotta do some wonders.
Baby, come give me something new.
I'm dead.
I agree with that statement, though. I mean, you can definitely have it as a cherry on top.
Yeah,
you know that the nightcap.
Night mode.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, the nighty night mode. The seer.
Not everybody eats Mexican food. I'm so sorry.
Not everybody eats Mexican food.
Yes, the bowl, to tie it all up, to wrap up the box.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Let's flip it. Would women accept sex as a gift?
Ooh, interesting. Where the women at in the comments, huh?
That's for the ladies right there in the comments. Would you guys accept sex as a gift?
If you have enchiladas two or three times a week. Oh, man. Okay.
Girlfriend's guy says never.
Sheesh.
Yeah, I think it'll be the same response for both.
I think the response varies a little bit from men to women, bro.
You think so?
Wow.
Yeah.
No, never. These comments are.
I mean, it depends. I mean, it depends. I know we're live right now. The amount of wine I've been drinking, you about to hear. You about to hear Barry say, AKA at the bottom. It depends. I can show you. I could be a gift.
Hold on, bro.
Now you being a hypocrite.
Hold on, bro. This dude been drinking something over. Hold the horses, Mr. Irk guy. Hold on.
So you telling me you will never accept it as a gift, but now you can make it a gift.
Okay. If the word is sex, yes. If the word is
You see the comment?
Zeus said, "Not tomorrow. This is a family show, bro."
Jay said, "We'll accept it because we're men. We don't need much, but they would be living." Listen, I said it once. I said it twice. I'll say it again. I don't ask for much. I'm a very simple man. Ashley saying it is not a gift.
That's
so. The reason I ask because it differs a little bit from.
Why can't it be a gift? Why can't it be a gift for men and for women? Why can it not be a gift? I mean,
this is for y'all to answer.
Who?
Anybody. The question is, I'll read it out loud for you guys since y'all didn't want to read that loud. I have a question, though, coming from Kayleen. What are your thoughts on men who are going on dates with the expectations of sex in return? Any advice for the ladies on how to navigate situations such as these? Wow, that's a great question.
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's a difficult answer.
Sam, chill out, Sam.
I would say... Hey, people are shiesty. So I'm gonna just leave it at that. You'll never know anybody's intention. So I can't really give you any advice because somebody may be leading you on in a way you may not know to just, you know, get sex in return. And that's not just men, that's women too. So in a sense, hey, you just gotta really be aware. You gotta really be observant because a lot of people are just shiesty. A lot of people will kind of just play with your emotions, pull on your strings to get what they want from you. So that's my answer to that.
I'm gonna say this. let me make sure I read this comment again. If men are only going on dates with the expectation of sex, they money hitting way different than my money hitting. Cause my money going like
you don't got sex expectation money.
if I'm going on a date spending money because you know I'm a gentleman. I'm gonna spend money on a date. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna buy you the food, drink, get whatever the date requires. And if I'm doing that with the mindset of I'm just trying to have sex, then my money's not like that. So if I'm spending money, if I'm taking you out on a date, that's not how I would operate. But again, this is a world. Everybody's different. Everybody's different in this world. There are probably men out there who maybe do that. I'm going to drop this amount of money on this date because after this date's over, I'm trying to see you split in the middle.
Jesus.
That's two times jiggle.
But not everybody thinks like that. There are guys who think like that probably, but there's guys who, you know, I'm going to take you on this date. I'm going to spend X, Y, and Z money because I want to get to know you and experience the time with you and enjoy that everything that comes along with the date with the person I'm spending it with.
Yeah. As a woman, if you get in that vibe, like, all right, this nigga just wants sex or whatever, don't be ashamed, one, to express that that's not going to happen. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like, be who you are. Be true to yourself, and don't try to waver who you are just because you think that this dude only wants you for sex and not. So just stand your ground and say what you want. Like, speak your mind. Like, yo, I just want to get to know you. Da da da. And you know, hopefully. Most men are not like that. We know some niggas are. So but don't waver from who you are to try to impress someone, especially if that was not your intention.
I got a question. And this is back to Valentine's Day. And Marv, we was having this conversation earlier.
Oh, bro.
We were seeing, I was seeing, I think Marv, you were seeing it too. I don't know what this new trend on social media is, but I've seen women go on social media and basically, ha-ha, I'm going to treat myself on Valentine's Day. I'm going to take myself out on a date, and I'm going to get my own reservation. Ha-ha. You know, I'm going to treat myself.
This is ha-ha.
I mean, I've been seeing it, but I'm confused because, like, I don't necessarily understand what's the message trying to be pushed, promoting the fact that you taking yourself on out on Valentine's Day, and you are you trying to say I don't have anybody to take me out, or are you trying to say I don't need anybody to take me out? I'm confused whenever I see that pop up on social media from a female saying like, ah, well, I'm reservation for one. Like, I don't get it.
You know what that is, Mike.
What is it? Please help me understand.
That is a hope for intervention.
You think so?
Yeah. Like it's like anybody. Like, if you're bored at the crib, right, and you're trying to do something, you're gonna post like, oh, you're gonna post and hope somebody responds.
Oh.
So you think it's a lure?
I think it's a lure. Because if you're doing Valentine, you don't need to promote that you're going out on Valentine's Day by yourself. That's like promoting you bought yourself a Christmas gift.
About a month ago, I liked your picture. About a month ago,
that's like saying that.
It's interesting. I think one, it's, I definitely agree. Could definitely try to be like a lure, especially if you're trying to promote it like a week ahead. Or another could be that they're just trying to show others that they're self-sufficient and they don't need nobody, anything like that. I mean, it could go both ways. You never really know anyone's really true intentions of it. One thing me and Irk learned: live and let live. I want no trouble. Live.
Okay, facts. There we go. Great, great comment. And yes, thank you for that.
Read it out loud for the people listening.
That's wanting.
Oh, sorry.
That's wanting to go out, but you don't have nobody to go out with. Just take yourself out.
Take yourself out, baby girl. Well, take yourself out.
I get that. And yeah, if you don't have nobody to go out with, I get it. But what is posting it on social media is gonna, like, you just want to tell people you're going out by yourself? I don't.
It could be one. Maybe they are talking to somebody. Maybe they are talking to somebody, and that somebody hasn't said nothing to them yet.
Or she's trying to get that person's attention.
It could be that. It's definitely or to promote, so it could be a combination. They are single and don't want to come say there's okay. I've never thought about it like that.
So she said, we got a comment here saying could be a combination of a lot of things. They are single and don't want to come right out and say they are single, could be attention seeking, or it could be harmless announcement that they don't realize amplifies their single woman status. That's loaded. And I, once again, like I said, there's definitely different intentions with that. It reminds me a little bit, and I don't want to get sidetracked. We can get right back to this topic, but it reminds me a little bit when people go on social media and say, oh man, I'm finally completely over my ex. I'm completely over this person that's been hung. If you got to go on social media and type that you're over your ex, that nigga's still living in your head rent-free. Like, if you over that person, you shouldn't even have to post that you're over that person. You live in your life. You live in your best life. That's the one thing that's always caught my attention. Like, yo, why are you even like pushing that person's in your mind or in your pulse and wasting your breath? If you over him, you over him. Keep it moving. Live your life. Live your best life. So it reminds me a little bit of that.
You know what that also reminds me of? That pisses me off when people hop on social media to say they're going ghost.
Like, yo.
if you're going ghost, go ghost. Go ghost. Don't tell me you're going ghost.
You don't want people to announce they're going ghost first before they do.
I'm gonna take a break off social media. Take the break. take.
Man,
that gets annoying. I feel that. I think it's like Lar, those somebody sons.
Can you explain that for us?
I don't know what this meme is.
I mean, I know what the somebody son is. I just want to know what he's referring to.
Are you guys eventually trying to be somebody's son?
What?
Those, chill out, Eric. Those me and somebody sub memes to me feel like the same type of thing. I don't have what I need to do what I want. But at least those ones are, you know why they're posting that. You know what I'm saying? It's not they're not hiding anything. They're saying me and somebody's son. Obviously, they're saying, hopefully, this can be me and somebody's son. It's not, you know, innuendos with that one or anything like that. I feel like that one's direct. So I respect those.
Okay, now I know what these
Sam, are. Please.
Marv got a somebody's son t-shirt.
This guy's a snitch.
I'm a snitch for something that who wears in public?
It's a joke, brother. It's a joke. Damn, bro. Damn.
Dude, okay,
that shirt great.
I was trying to find that shirt too.
Hold on, bro. Hold on.
I think this is a response to what Irk said about the going ghost thing.
I think people talk to themselves on social media to say that's facts. I mean,
if this one person who knows it's her.
I definitely talk out loud all over Twitter.
I mean, babe, some people use social media for that, you know, that outlet. But hey, I ain't knocking anybody for how they use social media. It's your personal outlet, so use it how you please.
For sure. But you know, we gotta wind down here. We've got the special guests in the building.
Yes,
DJ Irk, Young Barry, Conflict, Jamerkle. You know, if you guys are watching Mr. Barnett, as Mike knows him as. If you guys are in the comments right now, please like, subscribe, continue to comment. This helps out the show a lot. Hopefully, you guys are digging the new format. So much more to come with Double M. I think, Irk, we're gonna start hitting you with some quick hitters, man. Some Double M quick hitters to end out this night. And for people who have any questions, quick hitter questions you want to send out to Irk as well, please do so.
All right, bet.
You want me to start off, Mike?
Start it off.
Who is an artist you look up to?
One answer. Quick answer.
What are you talking about? A painter or like an artist, a singer?
Artist.
Any type of artist that I look up to. I probably look up to Delphin right now. He's a LA artist.
LA artist.
Okay. Ooh. Summer, winter, spring, or fall? Which one?
Fall.
Most embarrassing story you can think of on the top of your head?
Shit in my pants on a taxi in Trinidad.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Wow.
When you quit working at McDonald's, what was going through your head?
Oh shit.
I love this story.
Let's tell the story.
This is how we go end it off here. Let's end it off with this story. Please.
I worked at McDonald's. I was doing the opening shift at McDonald's. I mean, you got to be there 4:30 a.m. I did that for about a year. I got sick and tired of it. I was supposed to open one day. I put my little apron, my jeans, my hat, the little shirt. I tied it to the front of the door, and I wrote a sign. And that's the last time I've ever seen that McDonald's.
Oh, I love that story. I love that story.
Yo. Oh, man.
It's been a great show, man.
What a show, bro. We definitely going to have you back on here, bro.
Got to. For sure.
Yeah, y'all look great.
People in the comments like, bro, you did what?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yo.
Sorry.
Shout out to everybody, like Marv said. Everybody in the comments. Everybody tuned in. This show right here, this is what we do. This is Double M Live with much more to come from Double M Media coming soon. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We on YouTube. Audio's coming out to listen back to the show on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, all those different other platforms for sure. We want to say thank you, thank you, thank you again to DJ Ark joining us tonight. It was an honor. Pleasure having you on here. A part of the conversation for sure. Yeah. This is Double M Live with Mies and Mike Nice.
It was a great show, bro. It was a great show. Thank you, everybody, for pitching in. Be on the lookout. Our brother, Soul Brother Josh, has his premiere show dropping tomorrow as well. So, you know, the only way you can find out is you subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of that. So shout out to Josh. We got two lovely black, powerful women got their podcast coming up Sundays with Sayonara on the Double M Media. So be on the lookout for that. But right now, we doing a toast for our brother Jamal.
I got a question for y'all. Are all the other shows going to be live?
Sundays with Sayonara will be, I believe.
Sundays with Sai. So Soul Brothers is going to be on the YouTube.
Yeah.
I need to see that. Definitely need to see that. Soul Brother John.
It's about to be fire, man. So,
great. Everybody tuned in. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. But we toasting here to our brother Irk, to Double M, all the good
These stuff. Are his wine glasses, by the way, as well. So yeah, you already know. Link with the guy.
Next, Mike Nice, bro. I'll get you next, bro.
Oh, let me drop that one more time in there for the people who didn't see it. Link to his website. Check him out. But yeah, cheers.
Peace. So,